although you know your name and your fingerprint is still the same, your identity has been stolen from you so that you do not see yourself the way God sees you.
This is Straight Talk.
Hello, I'm Joshua Halleck, your host at Straight Talk Radio. On behalf of Pastor Mark and the whole Straight Talk team, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. We get comments all the time about how people are being blessed through the work here, and it just delights us to know that we're a small part of your spiritual journey. We'd love to hear about it. Have you been blessed by the program? Do you have a story to tell of how God's used a message from the Bible through this program to bless your life? Or maybe you have a question, or there's something that's really bothering you that you'd love to hear Pastor Mark talk about or to have answered. Write to us at info@straighttalkchicago.org. You can send us an email at info@straighttalkchicago.org. Let us know. It means a lot to us. Thank you.
Thank you, Josh. Hi, everyone. Today, Pastor Mark is beginning a brand new series. It's entitled Identity Theft. Our message is going to be called The Pleasure Trap. And our text will be found in the book of Luke. We're going to be in chapter 4. Here's Pastor Mark with his message called The Identity Trap.
How many of you here have experienced identity theft at one time or another? Someone's spent money on your card. Okay, see, quite a few of you. But there's an identity theft that's, hey, it's a lot worse than credit card identity theft. And it's spiritual identity theft. You see, here's what I know, that in this auditorium right now, seated here, there are people that are here this morning that your identity has been stolen from you. In fact, some of you sit here this morning and you barely know who you are spiritually. Sure, you know your name and you know your social security number, but you have been lied to about your worth and your value and your destiny and your potential. You have been lied to about your forgiveness and your position in Christ. And so although you know your name and your fingerprint is still the same, your identity has been stolen from you so that you do not see yourself the way God sees you. And that's a huge problem. Because here's the thing. The way you view yourself in light of God and the way you view yourself in light of others has a huge impact on your destiny. It impacts the way you worship. It impacts the way you go about your marriage. It impacts the way you relate to God. I mean, it impacts every single area of your life. If you have a wrong view of your identity, your entire life has been altered by identity theft. And let me tell you something. The Bible says that Jesus came that we may have life and have it more abundantly. But it also says that the devil came to steal, kill, and destroy. And do you realize that he wants to steal you of your identity? He wants to take away your sense of value, worth, destiny. He wants to lie to you about yourself. He wants you to go around life not knowing who you really are. Because if you discovered who you really are in God, it would change the way you do life. If you could understand the way God sees you today, if you could understand your position in God today, it would alter the way you go about living. And so Satan's massive, major attack upon us is to try to keep us blinded to who we really are in God. And that's called identity theft. So take your Bibles with me today. And I want you to turn to Luke. Our main passage is out of Luke chapter 4, but we're going to start reading in Luke chapter 3. And we will start reading in verse 21, where it talks about the baptism of Jesus. In Luke chapter 3, Dr. Luke, who also wrote the book of Acts, it says in Luke chapter 3, verse 21, when all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. You say, wait, Jesus was baptized? Yeah, Jesus. Wait a second, Pastor. I thought that we got baptized because we're sinners. And when we go in the water of baptism, it shows that our sins have been washed. And when we come out of the water, it shows that we're a new person in Jesus Christ. Well, why did Jesus have to get baptized? I mean, I thought Jesus was sinless. You're right. And Jesus did not get baptized to wash away sins, because Jesus had no sin to be washed away. But Jesus got baptized as a sign or an example for us to follow after his model. You see, baptism is always an identification with God. When you get baptized, you're identifying with the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That's why we go all the way under the water, because it's more symbolic of the death, burial, and resurrection. It's an identity. In the book of Acts, when people came to Christ on the day of Pentecost, there were 3,000 people that came to Christ, and all 3,000 of them got baptized on that day because they were identifying with their newfound faith in God. Jesus got baptized as an example to us, but as an identification with the Father and his call to the Father. And look what happens. So Jesus' cousin, John the Baptizer, it says, when all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. As he was praying, heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in a bodily form like a dove. So Jesus gets baptized, he comes out of the water, he's praying to the Father, and all of a sudden, with the crowds around, something begins to happen in the heavens, the clouds begin to part, and then out of the heavens descends a dove. Not a mystical spiritual dove, like a real dove. And it comes out of the heaven, and it descends upon Jesus, it says. Now, I don't know if the dove just kind of flew over his head or if the dove landed on his shoulder, but a dove descends, and it's the Holy Spirit descending upon Jesus in a bodily form. And the Bible says, and a voice came from heaven. Listen to this. And a voice came from heaven and says, you are my son, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased. I love those words. Think about it. Now, have you realized that from the day that Jesus was born till he was about 30 years old, there's very little that Scripture has to say about the life of Jesus, right? I mean, we know about the star and the manger and the angels and the shepherds. But we know about his birth. And we know that when he was about 2 years old, or a little bit older, he had to flee to Egypt. But then we know nothing. Oh, yeah, except when he was 12. Remember the story when he went to the temple and he said, I have to be about my father's business. But from 12 on, we know nothing about Jesus. It's like this blank page. Like, what happened to Jesus from 12 to 30? I mean, what was he doing? Was he in some cave seeking God, praying and memorizing Scripture? Did he travel around trying to find the mysteries of God? You know what he was doing? He was working with his father, Joseph. Yeah, you know what he was doing? He was living out the life of a Galilean peasant, marginalized peasant, run by a Roman, while the government was run by the Roman authorities. He wasn't traveling. He wasn't visiting. He was just working as a carpenter. Hands pretty calloused, learning his trade. Quiet, not getting involved in mischief, not doing miracles, not teaching in the synagogue. He was just going about his business. He was 30 years old. You say, well, what a waste of time. I mean, why didn't Jesus get involved in doing something earlier? I mean, he was God. He had power. Why did he just work as a carpenter? Because his time had not yet come. You see, there's a time and season for everything. How about it? There's a time to be quiet and a time to talk. There's a time to be still and a time for action. There's a time to grow and a time to step out in faith. And Ecclesiastes says that God has made everything beautiful in its time, but if we do things ahead of the time of God, then we can mess things up. So Jesus' time had not come until his baptism. And the day of his baptism symbolized his public step into ministry. The time had come. And now Jesus said, okay, it's my time. When you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they don't talk about the whole life story of Jesus. They mainly cover 3 years of Jesus' life, from when he was 30 till he was 33. Imagine that. 3 years of Jesus' life. But I want you to understand this. Jesus started his ministry, and the Father says to Jesus, he speaks into his identity. He says, you are my son, I love you, and I am well pleased with you. You know, there are men in this auditorium today that you've never heard one of those things from your father. And you wish you had. Well, some of you long to hear from your father, hey, you're my son. Or hear, hey, son, I love you. Or hear, hey, son, I am proud of you and I am pleased in you. What was God the Father doing? God the Father was establishing the identity of his son. He was speaking into the life of Jesus as a 30-year-old, and he was saying, this is your identity. You are loved by your father. You're a son of God, and I'm well pleased in your life. He was speaking into his identity. Now, as we talk about identity, here's what I want you to understand about this. I want you to understand, if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. Often, the greatest challenge to our identity will come when we are ready to step out in faith. You see, the enemy doesn't need to oppose us if we're not doing anything. You say, well, I don't like get a lot of attacks. No, you sit behind sit on your favorite couch with your Dunkin' Donuts coffee, three sugars, and you watch sitcoms on TV, and you say, I don't get a lot of opposition. No, you're not doing anything. Why would the devil have to oppose you? You're just kind of frivoling life away. But the moment you say, wait a second, I think I should do something for God. The moment you say, you know, I think I need to get baptized. Or I think I need to lead a home group. Or I need to get mentored. Or I should get involved in helping in Sunday school. Or I should open my mouth and start witnessing to people. Or I should take some steps forward in my Christian life. Then at that moment, at that season of time, then you can expect that you will be opposed, because the moment you begin to take steps forward is the moment that you will experience some opposition to your growth. Because now the enemy knows, uh-oh, a sleeping giant has awakened.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Job in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled The Pleasure Trap, which is from our series called Identity Theft. Stay tuned and I'll tell you more about how you can get a copy of this message for free, as well as information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Luke chapter 4, and our message today is called The Pleasure Trap.
The moment that Jesus took a step into his ministry, for 30 years, it doesn't say he was attacked, it doesn't say he was tempted, it doesn't say he was opposed, nothing happened. But the moment he gets baptized, look what happens the moment he gets baptized. It says in verse 23, now Jesus himself was about 30 years old when he began his ministry. He was the son, so it was thought, of Joseph. And then it gives a long genealogy in chapter 4, verse 1, it says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. Now, you need to notice this about his temptation. He never was tempted as strong as when he finally decided to do something for God. When his time for ministry came, then his testing and his temptation came as well. So here's what I want you to know. Don't be surprised that the moment that you decide to do something for God, you start getting tempted and tested. Don't be surprised that the moment you say, you know what, I'm gonna go forward in God. I'm going to join a Bible study, and suddenly you're tested. You see, the moment you start taking steps forward, that's the moment that you start getting tested and tempted, because now you have an opposer, someone that wants to oppose your progress and your forward movement. Jesus suddenly was tested. Now, I want you also to understand this. I want you to understand, the second thing I want you to understand is not only that when we get moving, we start getting tested. By the way, that's just huge. There is no step of faith without testing. You want to get married, you're going to be tested. You want to start a new business, step of faith in God, do it for God, you're going to be tested. You want to get mentored, you're going to be tested. You want to work on your marriage, you're going to be tested. You want to raise godly kids, it's going to be tested. Every time you set your mind to do something in Jesus' name for God, it will be tested. So expect it. Expect, if I'm going to take a step forward, I'm going to be tested. It's just part goes with the course. There is no such thing as a step forward in faith that is not tested somehow or some way. So just understand it goes with the territory. Second thing I want you to understand about identity theft. Just because your faith is being tested and your identity is being challenged doesn't mean you're out of the will of God. Notice what it says. In chapter 4, Jesus was full of what? He was full of the Holy Spirit. And when he got done with his baptism in the Jordan, he was led by what? He was led by the Spirit where? To the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. You say, wait a second, rewind. You mean the Holy Spirit led him to a place where he'd be tempted for 40 days? Exactly. Do you realize that sometimes we can be in the center of God's will and be in the middle of a major, major temptation or testing of our lives? Do you realize that? Some people say, I don't know, maybe I'm out of the will of God, I don't know what's going on, I'm being tested and tempted. No, maybe you're right in the center of where God took you, the center of God's will. You see, we all have to be tested, and the Holy Spirit, The third person of the triune God, filled Jesus and led Jesus to the desert when he knew that Jesus would be tempted severely. He led him there, led by the Spirit, in the center of God's will. And some of you right now are being tested severely. And it's not because you're out of the will of God. In fact, you're in the center of God's will, but your life is being tested. And that's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. Now notice there's a difference between being tested and being tempted. Some people say, well, God tempted me. No, God doesn't tempt anyone to do evil. God never tries to get you to do evil. He never tempts you. James tells us that God is the author of all good things, and he never tempts you to do evil. God may allow you to be tested, and God may test you, but God will never tempt you to do evil. Are you with me? Someone says, I was in a locker room and, you know, I saw a wallet in the locker room. And of course, I opened it up just to see who it was, you know, and I opened it up, $300. I know God was tempting me to take it. No, God, hey, God didn't put that wallet there to tempt you to take it. That wasn't God. Now, God may allow you to be tested in your faith, but God will never lure you to evil. That's not the way God works. God is not an author of evil. God never drags you to evil. God never entices you to evil. God never says, let me see if I can trick this person to fall. God never does that. Never. Don't blame it on God. It may be your own lust, your own desire, may it be the devil, but never, God never tries to lure you to do evil. God will test your faith, but never lure you to do evil. So, I want you to understand that it was the Holy Spirit. Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. He went to the desert, and he was there for 40 days for a season of fasting and prayer in the desert. So if you're in the desert right now, maybe God led you to the desert. Maybe your desert is your job, or maybe your desert is your marriage, or maybe your desert is your health, or maybe your desert is your school. The desert is a hard place, a place of testing, a place where you have to exercise faith because it's not easy, a place that you feel like, whoa, this is difficult. And maybe it's God that's allowing your faith to be tested. Third point I want you to write down is this. All temptation begins by questioning of our position and our identity in God. So Jesus is fasting for 40 days. He has nothing during those 40 days, it tells us in the second part of verse 2. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. Of course, after 40 days, you're going to be hungry. As people sometimes say, well, a person can't go 40 days without eating. Sure, you can. You can't go 40 days without water, but you can go 40 days without eating. That happens all the time. Not all the time, but it happens all the time. We've done a few fasts here at this church where we've done 40-day fasts of no eating, sometimes just water. You're not going to die. I know people that start a fast and they go 2 days. They think, I think I'm starving. No, you're not starving. Don't worry. You got a lot of extra stuff there to help you out. You may feel hungry inside, but believe me, you're not dying. No. I think my body's starting to eat my organs. No, that's not happening after 3 days or after 2 meals missing. Believe me, you're not dying. It's just hard on your body, but you're not dying. And Jesus went 40 days, but after 40 days, you're really hungry. Really hungry. And the Bible says that the devil tempted Jesus. And we don't know exactly how the devil appeared, but maybe it was a voice in his head, or like he tempts you and I through the Spirit. But it says, the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God. You see, the devil always tempts our identity first. He questions his identity. Hey, are you the Son of God? Hey, if you really are the Son of God, or since you're the Son of God, or maybe you're the Son of God, hey, you don't look like the Son of God. I mean, shouldn't the Son of God have like a crown or priestly robes, or where were you born again? Oh, a manger. Hey, and you're the Son of God? You see the questioning tone of the enemy? He's questioning his identity. He's putting doubting what the Father had just said. You're my Son, I love you, and I'm well pleased in you. And the devil's questioning his identity. Hey, if you are the Son of God, he says to him, tell this stone to become bread. That's the first temptation. I call it the pleasure trap. The pleasure trap. You see, the pleasure trap is this. The pleasure trap basically says, I am somebody when I feel good. I am only somebody when I am self-fulfilled and satisfied. Then I am somebody. You see, Jesus is 40 days without eating. There's a stone. The devil says, hey, look at that stone, Jesus. Man, aren't you hungry? Yeah, I'm hungry. You know what? Hey, can't you visualize that stone as a big chunk of bread? And can you see it, Jesus? Hey, if you are the Son of God, if you really are who you say, hey, should the Son of God really go hungry? I mean, come on. I mean, aren't you the Son of God? God of glory? Aren't you the Christ? I mean, if you're the Christ, I mean, shouldn't you have something to eat? A piece of bread? Why should the Son of God go without eating? I mean, really, shouldn't you satisfy your cravings? If you really are the Son of God, then satisfy your cravings. And why don't you just shazam? Turn this rock into a piece of bread and eat it. You say, well, Pastor, why would that be a sin? I mean, couldn't Jesus do it? Here's the thing. We all have legitimate needs. But if we try to fulfill those legitimate needs in an illegitimate way, it's wrong. Are you tracking with me? You see, we all have needs. Someone says, well, I have a need to be happy. I just want to be happy. I don't want to be depressed. I don't want to be down. I just want to be happy. I'm glad you want to be happy, but snorting a line of cocaine is an illegitimate way to try to make you happy. You say, well, I want to be richer. I mean, why do I want to have more money? I want to be able to spend on good things. Hey, great, I'm glad you have the need to be able to provide for your family and so forth. But you know what? Stealing money out of the petty cash is an illegitimate way of meeting a legitimate need.
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe and the first half of his message entitled The Pleasure Trap, which is from his new series called Identity Theft. Tune in again on the next Straight Talk for the second half of this message. And as I mentioned earlier, if you would like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app that you can find at PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will also find other great messages that you can download to help you with your spiritual walk. You can also contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300 if you would prefer to have a CD. CDs are only $5 plus shipping. We also would like to invite you to visit one of our New Life campuses. There are 25 New Life churches throughout Chicago, and you can check us out at www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. Please do tune in again on the next Straight Talk for the second half of this message, and please do tell a friend. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, our Straight Talk team, and myself. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great evening, and God bless.